Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoeconomy Quick Read. What's up, guys? Welcome to another Cryptoeconomy Quick Read. I got one here today from Anthony Pompliano, and it is titled The Digital Age of Securities, a new way to think about investments on the blockchain. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into it. 2017 was a banner year for ICOs and cryptocurrency tokens. Unfortunately, many of these ICOs raised capital as utility tokens with no adherence to United States security laws. This bad behavior has led to an array of SEC subpoenas and enforcement actions. The strong regulatory response is being encouraged by good actors and should cause a drastic slowdown in the number of ICOs for 2018 and beyond. Entrepreneurs still need to raise capital, though. Rather than abandon token-based fundraising, there will be a seismic shift to what many refer to as security token offerings. These security tokens are merely token offerings conducted in a regulatory compliant way. While this perspective has elements of truth to it, I will take the rest of this piece to suggest a different framework, a framework that clearly describes what is happening while attempting to put this shift in historical context. My hope is that this can serve as a guiding light for individuals across the crypto and financial communities. Investments on the blockchain. Simply, a security is a tradable financial asset. These securities were previously presented in a physical paper certificate that represented ownership in an asset. When an asset owner wanted to sell their ownership stake, they traded the physical certificate for currency with another entity or individual. Obviously, this analog age of security sounds archaic and inefficient. Over the years, different individuals and organizations have attempted to bring securities and the subsequent trading of securities into the digital world. It wasn't until late 1980s and early 1990s that electronic certificates and trading began to be used in a material way. This new process removed the need for stockbrokers to stand on the trading floor and yell bids and asks at each other. It made the financial system more efficient. It increased the number of people who could participate, and it ultimately removed a select group of middlemen from the process. This switch from paper certificates to electronic security certificates was previously referenced as a digital shift. I disagree. The digital world as we know it today, both the infrastructure and applications, was not available yet. Rather than call the period from 1990-ish to now a digital period, I refer to it as the electronic age of securities. The electronic age has captured the minds of Wall Street and brought many benefits. Almost every security is currently held in electronic form and transacted on an electronic system. A majority of security holders never touch a physical paper certificate. The financial system looks more modern than ever before. Technology waits on no one, though. As Wall Street firms took the last 20 to 30 years to adapt to the electronic age, technology has continued to improve at an exponential rate. The most valuable advancement comes in the form of blockchain, a distributed digital ledger that empowers decentralized peer-to-peer transactions in a publicly transparent way. As in previous decades, the advent of new technology brings a new age of securities and trading. Blockchain is the foundation for the digital age of securities. This digital age removes more middlemen, creates more efficiencies, and increases the amount of people who can participate. At the heart of this technological shift are two components: digital shares, or security tokens, and decentralized exchanges. Security tokens are true digital shares that allow for fractional ownership, instantaneous transaction settlement, and regulatory compliant ownership. Previously, if a single share of Apple was trading at $100, an individual could not own the share if they had only $50. Today, digital shares would allow that individual to own 0.5 Apple shares, or fractional ownership. The purchase of that Apple equity share would be executed near instantaneously on the blockchain, if and only if the buyer and seller were both within the regulatory guidelines for transacting that security. This regulatory compliance check is also done near instantaneously with blockchain protocols. If the ownership and trading of these new digital shares looks different, we also need new platforms to empower and service these transactions. Enter a decentralized exchange, or DEX. Decentralized exchanges are a new technology that allow users on a distributed ledger to transact with each other in a regulatory compliant manner without reliance on a centralized authority or single point of failure. These exchanges take the power and responsibility out of the hands of brokerages and investment banks and place it back in the hands of the individual buyers and sellers. By removing the middleman in a trade, DEXs create a more efficient financial system while decreasing the cost of transacting. Additionally, without the need for a single authority to support and approve each transaction, more individuals are able to transact with each other, a true democratization of access to the global financial system. The financial system will look very different when we have digital shares and decentralized exchanges. Individuals will not be subjected to, quote, hours of operations from centralized authorities and markets. They will not be subjected to archaic technology or legacy inefficiencies. They will be given their time back. They will be given their freedom back. This transformation from the electronic age to the digital age won't happen overnight. It will take 10 to 20 years until the majority of financial securities are transacted on the blockchain. When it happens, individuals will finally be empowered to transact when they want, with who they want, in a fully regulatory compliant way. A new era is upon us. The freedom it brings will disrupt old models and make way for new ones. It will ultimately lead to the largest shift of wealth in our lifetime. Security tokens are merely digital shares. Decentralized exchanges are better conduits of financial transactions. Welcome to the digital age of securities. All right, and that was The Digital Age of Securities by Anthony Papliano. I don't know how he stands. He didn't actually mention anything in the article about the current nature of our token market. He just talked about the idea of tokens just at a very high level. So one thing that I take issue with regarding the current market is that everyone is trying to bootstrap their own network. Like, we're creating entirely new networks every time somebody makes some new token, which doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe there's value in like a handful of these things, but the token itself, it's reminiscent to me of trying to make like a new brand of car. Like, you've got Toyota, Honda, Acura, Hyundai, so on and so forth. But then imagine if every one of those car companies attempted to create an incompatible way to fuel the car. So we didn't have one gas station in which you could fill up all model cars. You had to go to a Toyota gas station if you had a Toyota. You had to go to an Acura gas station if you had an Acura, and so on. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, you use the infrastructure that's already there, and if you've got a network with its own security principles, its own like censorship resistance, and it's got hundreds of thousands of nodes, they're doing the security work and keeping the infrastructure up. It doesn't make any sense to try to bootstrap your own network. It seems so redundant and backwards and inefficient, just as from a conceptual standpoint. Now, right now it's incredibly profitable because we're still in the hype stage of all this stuff, and people still don't even know how to weigh what does work and what doesn't work. There's no standards for valuing these things or even measuring what's sustainable and what's not. All this stuff is crazy, crazy new and young, and the market is just as young and immature as all of the technology. So Honestly, it's to be expected that money is being thrown at nonsense. And I think we will slowly begin to work out the standards and figure out what's valuable and not as the market matures. But as Anthony states in this article, he's got a really good point. We have a lot of securities and tokens and, you know, representative tradable certificates for commodities. We have Amazon bucks. There's tokens, quote unquote, everywhere. But they all have very central points of failure, control, and middlemen. And I think we're going to start seeing a market where these things all drop away. Just like what we've seen with the internet for 20, 30 years now, is middlemen don't survive in the era of networks. And I think one of the most interesting aspects to keep an eye on as we move forward is both the consequences and the actions of the separate regulatory environments and jurisdictions. Because you're looking at a technology that has no borders, there are no walls around it, it's entirely inclusive, it is a public resource. Bitcoin is completely public, we're all managing it, we are all coming to consensus on what the rules are, nobody's really in charge, we're all collectively filling in the potholes and making sure this thing stays up and stays available for anyone who wants to use it, and establishing a set protocol and rules for exchanging ownership. When the regulatory environments attempt to rebuild walls or put gaps up between certain addresses and build these barriers between this market and this network, the barrier doesn't actually exist. It's fake. It's an authority-based barrier, and I think it's going to slowly fall away. And trying to reintroduce middlemen into a network that has none is just going to fail. I think the legacy system, if they do not realize, if they don't see the writing on the wall, and they don't accommodate for how the network is going to change the relationship between the owner of the security and the ability to trade the security and the rules around it, I think they're going to drive a wedge between the real growth in the market and their control in the market. And they may be able to keep their little market with all their control and all their fees and all their stuff, but I think the gray or black markets will simply outgrow them. And even worse, as these huge financial burdens and problems come to a head, the black market could very well out-legitimize the legacy markets, which would be embarrassing with such a young market now that's so full of scams. To actually be safer and more secure than the legacy market, that could hurt. But regardless, it's going to be really interesting to watch all this unfold. I'm going to stay reading Anthony Pompliano's stuff. And if I see something else that I really like by him, I'll definitely throw it in here. If anybody finds a good article talking about how tokens are crap and none of this is going to be tokenized, so on and so forth, please link me to it. I would love to read the opposite perspective. Like I said, I have my opinions, which I've kind of given out here, but I'm still not solid either way. I don't know if running your own infrastructure makes any sense, or if having a separate network is really worth the cost. So I'd love to explore further and intend to do so. But this will close today's Crypto Economy Quick Read. Don't forget to follow Anthony Pompliano. I will make sure to tag him and link to his Medium blog in the post. And don't forget to follow me at The Crypto Economy on Twitter and Medium, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Keep an ear out. I should have lap number 5 out before the end of the day, and I will catch you guys later. Take it easy. We'll be right back.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.